Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
And I want to go back into the book of Nehemiah tonight and look at a thought here out of the book of Nehemiah tonight with the help of the Lord. And we've been here in Nehemiah quite a bit over the last little bit, and the Lord sure has been helping us with that, and I want to look at it some more again tonight, and give us a little thought here out of chapter number 6, and see what the Lord will give us tonight. Nehemiah chapter number 6, the Bible said this in verse number 9, "For they all made us afraid, saying, their hands shall be weakened from the work, that it be not done. Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands." Afterward, I came unto the house of Shemaiah, the son of Deliah, the son of Mehetabel, who was shut up, and he said, "Let us meet together in the house of God, which is in the temple, and let us shut the doors of the temple, for they will not come to slay thee, yea, in the night will they come to slay thee." And I said, "Should such a man as I flee, and who is there that being as I am would go into the temple, to save his life? I will not go in. And lo, I perceived that God had not sent him, but that he pronounced this prophecy against me, for Tobiah and Sambalat had hired him. Therefore was he hired that he should, or that I should be afraid and do so and sin, that they might have matters for an evil report, that they might reproach me. My God, think thou upon Tobiah and Sambalat according to these their works, and on the prophets Nodiah and the rest of the prophets that would have put me in fear." So the wall was finished in the 20th and 5th day of the month of Elul in 52 days. Now, jump with me if you have your Bible over to verse number 19. "Also they reported his good deed before me and uttered my words to him, and Tobiah sent letters to put me," watch this, "in fear." Now, whenever you read this passage, you'll find out that twice is the word afraid and the word fear. Now, I want to talk to you about that a little bit tonight, fear or being afraid tonight. In chapter number 6, it is the devil's last effort to get Nehemiah to quit the work that God has called Nehemiah to do. Now, if you're listening from our church and you write notes in your Bible or take notes, if you'll note, if you'll look here, probably back around May of 2019, you'll see that I mentioned some of these same things tonight that I'm going to talk about tonight, but I really felt led of the Lord to come back to this and look at it a little bit tonight. Now, here in chapter number 6, as I just said, that Nehemiah and Sambalat and Gershon and Tobias, they make one last drive to cause Nehemiah to quit doing the work that God has called him to do. But Nehemiah is determined by the grace of God and by the help of God that he will finish what God has for him to do, and that he will build these walls back. And we know that according to verse number 15, so the walls was finished. Nehemiah did do that. But Satan, through the work of Sambalat and the others, tried their best to bring fear into the life of Nehemiah. Can I say this to you tonight? Fear is the opposite of faith. Fear is the opposite of faith. And the Bible says this, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So what is pleasing to God? Then I would say this, faith is pleasing to God, and fear is not pleasing to God. Faith is pleasing to God, and fear is not pleasing to God. A lot of times, and especially in our world today and in our society today, and please hear me out. I am not belittling this. I am not poking fun of anybody that deals with this on a regular basis, but a lot of times anxiety today is fear. That's what it is. It is the fear of the unknown. But I want to say something to you today. Fear is not of the Lord. And fear today is something that we can overcome with the help of the Lord. Let me show you three things tonight and we'll be done. Number one, I would say this to you. Fear degrades our Lord. Fear degrades our Lord. Now, I'm not talking about having a fear of God. That's not what I'm talking about tonight. I believe you understand that. But faith or fear degrades our God. Can I say this to you tonight? Fear is an insult to God. Fear is an insult to God. Think about this with me. An insult to His sovereignty. He is in control, but fear says He's not. It's an insult to His providence. He guides us, but fear says no, He doesn't. It's an insult to His power. He protects us, but fear says no, He doesn't. So fear tonight, when we live in fear, it insults the sovereignty of God, the providence of God, and the power of God. You see, God is all-knowing and God is all-powerful. We do not have to live a life of fear. When Israel left Egypt, they were halted at the banks of the Red Sea. You that knows your Bible remembers the story there of that. And how the children of Israel came up to the Red Sea and the Egyptian army came up behind them. But the children of Israel, when they was in fear at that moment, immediately forgot what God had done for them through the 10 plagues there in Egypt. And immediately they began to live in fear. But what did God do? God used Moses to take his rod to stretch it out over the Red Sea and to lead them across the Red Sea to the other side. Was that the end of their fear? No, it was not the end of their fear. They came to Marah, and whenever they came to Marah, they began to fear again. What shall they drink? What shall we do? And began to murmur against the man of God. But what did God do? God used the man of God to throw a tree in the water, and the waters was made sweet. Was that the end of their fear? No, because you'll find out that they end up going in the midst of the wilderness. Soon they ran short of food and of water and say, Moses, did you bring us here to die? No, Moses didn't bring them there to die. Matter of fact, whenever you study it out, God provides manna for them and God provides water for a rock for them. What's that? The end of their fear? No. They come to the land, to the edge of the promised land. And what happens there? They send spies in. And two comes out and says, man, we're well able to possess the land. But what did the other 10 do? They said, man, there's no way we can do that. Fear was constantly in their life. And I say this to you tonight, fear degrades our Lord. It degrades our Lord. Listen to what the Bible said in 2 Timothy 1:7. For God hath not given us to fear, but of power and of love. And watch this, and of a sound mind. God or the devil, can I say it this way? The devil is pleased when our mind is running and forth, and we're constantly living in fear. The devil is pleased with that, but that is not what God intended for our life. God has given us a sound mind. God has given us love. God has given us power. God did not give us the spirit of fear. So when we live in fear, church, it degrades the Lord. Paul was in prison. And whenever you study it out, he says this in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 12, "For the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." Paul being in prison over and over again, but Paul continually reaffirmed us that God was there for us and that God was able. Nehemiah isn't focused on the enemy in chapter number 6. Nehemiah is focused on the Lord. Note what he says in the latter portion of verse number 9. "Oh God, strengthen my hand." Listen to what he says in verse number 11. "And I said, should such a man as I flee, and who is there that being as I am would go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in, and lo, I perceive that God had not sent them." You see, Nehemiah was sensitive to the work of God, and he was sensitive to the voice of God, and knew that those that was causing fear in his life was not of the Lord. Number one tonight, I would say this: fear degrades our Lord. Number two tonight, I would say this: fear destroys our life. Fear destroys our lives. Listen to what the Bible said in Proverbs chapter number 29, verse number 25. "The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be saved," or be safe. Fear destroys our life. You know what the enemy does, and what Satan is out to do? Satan is out to cause us to live our life in fear. You say, "Well, preacher, you're having a live feed service tonight. Evidently, you're living your life in fear." No, there's a difference in fear and being sensitive to the Lord and having respect for others. There's a completely different thing to that. Now think about this. Fear destroys so many lives. There's a lot of people today that they are so afraid of crowds that they will not go to church. And I'm not talking that because of COVID or anything else. I'm talking about because of fear, they won't go into society. They're afraid of being around somebody. I want to say something to you tonight. That is not of the Lord. Fear destroys our life. A snare is a trap. What does a trap do? It immobilizes. It renders ineffective. In other words, when fear overtakes your life, you're ineffective in what God wants you to do. You are immobilized from what God wants you to do. In our text, the enemy wants to trap Nehemiah with fear. There was a prophet named Shemaiah, not a real man of God, but a hireling who did this just for money. Whenever you study this chapter out, the enemy uses Shemaiah by paying him to set a trap. He hid in his house and pretended his life was in danger. He got Nehemiah's attention and urged him to flee and attempt to get him to leave the work of the law, the wall. In verse number 12, Nehemiah recognizes Satan's fear trap. Satan is still laying that trap for us today. Fear brings a snare, and it also brings torment into our life. Listen to what the Bible said in 1 John chapter 4, verse number 18. "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love." I want to say something to you tonight. Fear lays a snare in our life, and fear will absolutely destroy and devastate our life tonight. You can torment yourself physically with fear, anxiety, ulcers, high blood pressure, stomach problems of all kinds. What is the problem? The problem with this, it's fear. It's fear tonight. Fear is to the body what sand is to machinery, but faith is like oil. Can I say that to you again tonight? Fear is to the body what sand is to the machinery. Faith is like oil. We do not have to live our life in constant fear tonight. We do not have to have our life dominated by fear tonight. I promise you, fear not only degrades our Lord, but fear destroys our life. Fear destroys our life tonight. There's a difference in fear and respect. I would say this, the reason we didn't have an in-person service tonight was out of respect. That's the reason. It wasn't out of fear, it was out of respect. We respect those around us, so do not allow fear to destroy your life. Fear degrades our Lord. Fear destroys our life. But I'll say this, number three, and I'll be done tonight. Not only does fear degrade our life and fear destroys does fear degrade our Lord and fear destroy our life? But I would say this, number three tonight, fear delights our enemy. Fear delights our enemy. Nehemiah was a gifted leader, but it doesn't matter if he is paralyzed with fear. His talents would be of no value. They would be of no value at all if Nehemiah allowed the enemy and fear to degrade the Lord, to devastate his life, and to destroy his life. It would delight the enemy. What was the enemy doing? He was trying his best to use a fear tactic to keep Nehemiah from doing the work of God. And there is so many today that allows fear to keep them doing what God would have them to do. I thought about this. And if we don't use our gifts that God has given us, we fail to be a blessing to others and we fail to be a blessing to God. And in doing that, the enemy is delighted. Some could sing, but they won't because of fear. Some could teach, but they won't because of fear. Some could pray aloud in a service, but they won't because of fear. Some could come forward to an altar and get help from God when He speaks to their heart, but they won't because of fear. Some could surrender to preach, but they won't because of fear. Some could have the assurance of salvation, but they won't because of fear. Well, what will somebody say if I truly get saved? What will I say if I surrender to preach? Well, I tell you what you're going to have to learn to say if you surrender to preach. You're going to have to learn to let God speak through you and you be a mouthpiece for Him. Preacher, what would people think if I went to the altar? They would be glad to come to an altar and pray with you. Fear delights our enemy. Satan laughs about and dances about with glee whenever we don't go to the altar, when we don't sing, when we don't pray, when we don't teach, when we don't surrender our life to preach, when we don't get saved or the assurance of our salvation. You see, it delights our enemy. What is the answer to fear? Do what Nehemiah did. Stay God-focused rather than enemy-focused. Remember His sovereignty, providence, and power. What did He say in 1 John 4:4? Of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in this world. You see, Nehemiah was greater than Sanballat, Gershon, and Tobiah, and the rest of the outfit that came up against him for 52 days and tried to get him to quit the work that God had put him to. Nehemiah was greater than them. Here's the reason why. Because Nehemiah had God on his side, and greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. I thought about what the Bible said in Psalms 27:1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? I'm reminded of what the Bible said in Romans 8:31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? If God is for us tonight, then who can be against us? I remember my dad preaching on that subject. If God be for us, who can be against us? Years ago. Dad said that word "if" means since. He said, since God be for us. God is not against us today. God is for us today. God loved us enough that He gave His Son to die for our sins. God is the greatest friend that I've ever had in my life. He's always been there for us. And He is is for us, with God for us, then who can be against us? Dad said this in that message. He said, you and God is a majority at any place, any time, against any number, because God is all sovereign. I want to say this to you tonight. We do not have to live in fear. We must stay God-focused rather than enemy-focused. Fear of God alleviates all other fear. And if you kneel before God, you can stand before any man. If you kneel before God, you can stand before any man. You see, Nehemiah done man a great work for God. But Nehemiah had to learn to overcome fear. Was there fear in Nehemiah's flesh? Sure there was. No doubt in my mind there was times when the enemy was rising against him, that if he'd have done what he wanted to do in his flesh, he would have been afraid and ran the other way. But we do not need to focus on fear. We need to focus on God and our faith in Him. Fear, it degrades our Lord. Fear destroys our life. Boy, how true that statement is tonight. But fear delights our enemy. You know what? I wonder how many sits at home on a Sunday morning and a Sunday night and a Wednesday night, and Satan is so delighted because of that. I wonder how many sits on a pew. I wonder how many men sits on a pew that God has been burdening their heart to preach, and God has been speaking to their heart to preach, and God has been dealing with them about a call to preach in their life. But they sit on the pew. They refuse to talk to the preacher. They refuse to try to get somebody to help them pray about that. They refuse to even mention it, all because of fear. You know what? Satan sits back in hell and laughs and is tickled to death, because with you not preaching, that means others will die and go to hell. I wonder how many could stand in a choir and sing and be a blessing to others, but they don't, because of fear. I wonder how many could teach and be a blessing, but they don't, because of fear. I wonder how many will die and go to hell because of a fear of what others would say to them if they got saved. Can I say something tonight? You are absolutely delighting Satan by doing that. Quit living a life of fear and begin being focused on our faith in God instead of fear of Satan.